Good morning. We're going to pray a little bit together. I thought I would precede that with a comment or two, inspired partially by some of your questions. The way that I would like to lead you, I'm going to take the reading from this morning's morning prayer. Morning prayer, as most of you, maybe all of you know, is part of the church's liturgy of the hours. It's what every priest, deacon, and bishop — the deacon's a little questionable, I think that's true though — every priest, deacon, and bishop is obligated to pray everywhere in the world. And we're all praying more or less the same thing, but the same liturgy of the hours. There's some different arrangements of psalms and readings for the Benedictines or even for some of the other orders. But anyway, everybody is praying this liturgical prayer. And a liturgical prayer is an official prayer of the church. The liturgy we're all most familiar with is the Mass. And then any of the other sacraments are also liturgical. And one of the nice things about liturgical prayer, as the church teaches us, is that liturgical prayer is always an action of the whole body of Christ. So the whole mystical body is praying, and that means that the whole church throughout the world, and also the whole church throughout time. So the saints join us, also the angels. It's really drawing us into the heavenly praise of God. And we can — now that's an invisible reality. We don't see that, but it's a reality that we can acknowledge and engage in faith. And so as we enter into liturgical prayer, we can use our imagination, which fills out the things that we can't see. And in our imagination, we can imagine the saints and angels here with us whenever we're in that liturgical prayer. So again, certainly the Mass, which is the most common that we're entering into, but then also the Liturgy of the Hours. And the Liturgy of the Hours is meant to signify that, you know, Mass happens for whatever, 1 hour a day. Now, if you look at all the Masses being celebrated all over the world, there's probably Mass being celebrated at every minute of every day, which is a nice thing to think about. But also in a particular place, here in Pennsylvania, for example, the Liturgy of the Hours is meant to be a sort of symbol to signify the fact that the praises of God are going on throughout the day. So the church, in various ways, gathers to pray the Liturgy of the Hours, primarily the Psalms and then also some readings and prayers. Anyway, just a few comments on that. If you're interested in the Liturgy of the Hours, the easiest thing is get a phone and get the iBreviary app, or there's a number of other ones, but that one is sort of the closest to the Roman sanction. There's a priest who started that and has it in a number of languages, and it's what I prefer. But anyway, there are a few different ones. But getting that is the easiest thing. Because it's organizing the seasons and the saints, then you can end up with a bunch of ribbons if you get the book. It can take you — sometimes it requires a bachelor's degree in order to figure out how to pray the Liturgy of the Hours, and you wouldn't want to get discouraged by that. So also online, if you go to the iBreviary website — and again, I'm sure there are some others, but that's the one that I'm most familiar with — then you can — it does it for you. Just lays it right out, tells you what to do, you just pray straight down through it. And then we also broadcast that. Those of you who are familiar with We Are One Body Radio, we broadcast the Liturgy of the Hours 5 times a day, and that's the 5 main offices of the Liturgy of the Hours. Anyway, that was more introduction than I planned to give, but I'm going to read the reading and pray with that a little bit, and do that in a way that I hope will give you a little sense of how you might — a method you might take up for prayer. And that method is affectionately known as Lectio Divina, just the Latin word for divine reading. Lectio Divina is essentially doing what I said last night: learning how to use Scripture to encounter God in our prayer. So again, there's a place for Bible study, there's a place for Bible reading, there's a place for analyzing the Scripture, but learning how to encounter God, praying with the Scripture so that it becomes an encounter with God, that's what we would call Lectio Divina. Now, some of you are familiar with Ignatian things, and St. Ignatius took that good Benedictine practice and he specialized it a little bit. It's pretty much what St. Ignatius did in everything. He stole from the Benedictines. No, actually, he had a very nice Benedictine formation, in truth. So he took a Benedictine practice, and then he specialized it. Lectio Divina is a little bit more general. The Ignatian approach to it, which gives some specific ways to meditate, or he uses the word contemplate in a way that the church doesn't. But anyway, we'll just not hold that against him, leading to a lot of confusion about what these words mean. But he specializes some ways to do that. So you might be familiar with the kind of Ignatian prayer with Scripture where you actually place yourself in the passage. Let yourself be the blind Bartimaeus, for example. And what happens when Jesus walks up to you? And what's the desire? Why are you crying out to him? How do you connect that with your own experience? And then when he says, what do you want? Then what do you say to him? How do you answer that prayer? So Ignatius sort of forms that sense of really entering into Scripture, gives a particular way to meditate with Scripture. But in Lectio Divina, we're praying with the Scripture in a way that helps us to encounter God. Now, one of the benefits of this, someone asked me about how do I stay in a prayerful mode all day long when I have so many distractions at work each day? Some days I can have the same amount of distractions, but I can stay closer to God. And in a certain sense, this person answered their own question. It's not something entirely in our own willpower. Some days it works, some days it doesn't. There we go. But recognizing that, there is a grace at work. And the other thing is that our sense of being close to God isn't 100% on. We may be closer to God than we realize. And that's part of the teaching of the dark night and the sense of dryness in prayer, that what St. John of the Cross talks about in the dark night is already union with God. In the dark night that leads us into the unitive way, there's already a union that's at place. I just don't know how to feel that or get in touch with that. It's not accessible to the parts of my brain that do a lot of reasoning or the parts of my heart with which I know how to connect with these things. And the dark night is learning to surrender to a deeper union with God that's not felt or thought in the same way. Anyway, part of that is what I'm saying is that we are closer to God than we realize in some cases. In other cases, there's a grace at work that makes it easier. But there is something that we can do as well. And the Carmelite doctors talk about this and describe it as acquired recollection or acquired contemplation. Anyway, there are some different words that St. Teresa uses. The prayer of quiet would be more God's action, drawing us into just that inner stillness. And maybe all of us have had an experience of that here or there. She says it doesn't last long. And so we should never expect to have that kind of thing throughout the day. But there is also an acquired state of recollection that I can remain in the Lord's presence and have a kind of loving awareness of the Lord's presence that persists throughout the day. Now that's what the Catechism calls contemplation, which again is different than what St. Ignatius means, for those of you who are tuned into that. If you're not, forget about it. Contemplation by the Catechism is basically a loving awareness of God's presence, which can persist throughout the day, just a gentle awareness, kind of like when you're in a room and there's other people in the room, and especially there's somebody that you love in the room, and you're not talking to each other. Maybe the person is even behind you. You're working very diligently at whatever you're doing, but you have a loving awareness of their presence. Might even be in a different place in the same house. You know, maybe your wife is home, your husband is home, and you find there's a consolation just in knowing that. You're not even interacting with each other. That's the kind of thing that we can develop with God more and more. And one of the ways that we can do that is by having a little burst of prayer. The Liturgy of the Hours is instructive for us in this regard. That's how the church comes together to have her little burst of prayer. But even more frequently than that, and shorter than that, we can have a little burst of prayer, a little moment of recognition, a little expression calling out to the Lord. And that's something that we can draw from these times of meditation, these times of Lectio Divina, prayer with Scripture. we can develop a way to have a little burst of prayer. And so we might be praying with we might derive a word from that or an image from our time in the morning. I use the image of the blind Bartimaeus, so I'll just keep working with that for a moment. But in our time in prayer, we might have been meditating a little bit about being the blind Bartimaeus, and Jesus comes up to me and he encounters me, and what's his presence like? Just that sense of being blind, but he comes close to me, and I hear his voice and the tenor of his voice, the softness of his voice, the firmness of his voice, the invitation, the mercy that I hear in his voice, and the sense of his presence cutting through the noise of the crowd and all of the distraction. So I have this kind of encounter with him in my time in prayer. And then I save that up. I save that memory in my heart. And later in the day, I'm very busy with many things. I'm maybe driving from one place to another. I'm in the middle of some kind of email. I'm just in between meetings. Maybe I'm in the middle of listening to somebody or interacting with somebody. And just for a moment, a very brief moment, maybe I even close my eyes, maybe I do it with my eyes open, I just remember that encounter, what it was like to be there in the presence of Jesus when he drew close and he spoke to me, "What can I do for you?" And I just remember that moment. It leads me into his presence. It takes 5 seconds. And then I'm just continuing on. I might be talking with somebody. They have no idea what I just did. You know, not especially, you know, if I can keep my eyes open and keep talking to them. But just for a moment interiorly, I went to that place of prayer. And I allowed myself to be in the presence of Jesus. And then I bring that right into the conversation. Right now I'm talking with someone. I'm in the presence of Jesus. Maybe I'm in the middle of an email. Maybe I'm sitting there at my desk. Maybe I'm driving from one place to the next. But I allow the presence of Jesus to come close to me at that moment by recalling that experience in prayer. And those little expressions, those little bursts of recollection help us a great deal in cultivating that and making that more habitual, not in the sense like rats have habits, but habits in the Thomistic sense, in the scholastic, theological sense, a character of the soul. I start to develop a character of my soul which is in continual reference to the Lord. And I do that by having a lengthier time of prayer and meditation, and then I do that by renewing that in little ways a few times throughout the day and just coming back into his presence. So that's a way we can cultivate an ongoing sense. Now, this is something that doesn't happen like, you know, by next week. It's something that happens by, you know, 30 years from now. I mean, you know, it's a gradual process. So you have to be patient with ourselves and not try to force it. It sort of happens before you know it. It's one of those things. It starts to develop, and it starts to take over more and more of our conscious time, and our takes over more of our day. And then there are specific times that I get rattled out of it, and a lot of times those kind of bursts of emotion, very difficult situations, the weight of the world that comes down on me, rattles me out of that, and I have a hard time recovering. Well, then those are good places to pray into and to find some healing and to find ways that I can bring Jesus together with that experience. Just that simple process of bringing two things together interiorly is a basic building block of prayer and allowing prayer to flow into all parts of our lives. And so that's, we come close to Jesus, and that's what retreat is such a great opportunity for, but then I want to bring the other parts of my life into that. Just bringing two things close together, the stronger one will dominate over time. And that's going to be the mercy and love of God. It's going to dominate. It's going to swallow up the other thing or infuse it and transform it from the inside. That's what happens when we bring those things together. So that's one of the things that we continually do through our growth in prayer. Is just keep bringing things together, the love of Jesus with other things in our lives, the fears, the anxieties, the angers, the unrepentance, the unforgiveness, those different kinds of struggles. So now I've really gone on longer than I intended to, but let's pray a little bit with, let me just see if there was, yeah, I think that's pretty good. Someone else asked me, is there a good spiritual and mental way to deal with the sadness and discouragement with the direction of our world, country, and politics are headed. And, well, this is a good way. Come into the presence of Jesus. Really, prayer. You know, it starts to become trite after a while because we say it over and over again, but it's actually the truth. Really, prayer is the answer to everything. We always come back to prayer, and that becomes the ultimate point and the starting point for everything. So bringing it into prayer, holding it up before the Lord, like I described last night, just bringing those things together, the presence of Jesus and the disasters in our world, the presence of Jesus and the heavy sorrows of my heart, the presence of Jesus and his love and the discouragement that I might be feeling about how things are going. Just bringing those things together in prayer is very helpful. Now again, like we said last night, not violent, not forceful, not with the expectation that everything's going to change in an instant. Prayer isn't magic, it's relationship. And relationships take time and persistence and patience and gentleness and all of those kinds of things. So, but those are some of the steps in our relationship. Those are some of the building blocks of our prayer. Now, I didn't open this conference with a prayer because I was going to do some praying, and then I just went on for a while. So we're going to backfill with a little bit of prayer. Let's just take a moment or two in silence and settle ourselves. Remember that, especially here in the chapel, we're in the presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. He's here with us. Also, as we gather in his name, he is here with us. Also, because we're baptized Christians, he is here within us. We are so close to him, in some ways closer to him than we are to ourselves. Just take a moment in silence to recollect ourselves in the presence of God. And just ask for a little help. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts with your love, your presence. Come, Holy Spirit, help us to hear the word of God and draw closer to Jesus and through him to the Father. Let me read a little bit from Isaiah chapter 1. He says, "Wash yourselves clean. Wash yourselves clean. Wash me, Lord. Wash me clean. I feel the soil of so much toil and labor. I feel the soil of so much distraction and busyness. I feel the dirt of my own sins and failures, the times that I have erupted in anger, the times that I've hidden myself away in despair, the times that I've buried my anger and felt the weight of depression, the times that I've been far from you, turning from your presence, the times that I've been simply lazy and have not done what I knew I should do. Wash me clean, Lord. Wash me clean. Wash yourselves clean. Wash yourselves clean. I feel the sweetness of that water washing over me, the water of grace washing over my sinful soul, washing over my tired and wearied body and soul, the water of your grace washing over me from head to toe, just like after a long, sweaty, dirty, dusty day, stepping into the shower and being washed clean by cool water, after a cold day, stepping into a warm shower and feeling it wash over me from head to toe. That's how you wash me clean, Lord. Wash yourselves clean. Wash us clean in this time of retreat. Allow that water of grace to wash over us." Help me to feel refreshed and renewed, just like stepping out of that purifying, cleansing shower, feeling fresh and renewed. My body stimulated, each cell of my skin feeling a little bit more alive, more sensitive, more open. Let my soul feel more open in that way in this time of retreat, just washed clean from my anger, my sorrows, my fears, from the numbness, from all that holds me back, from all that has kept me from your presence. Those caked layers of dirt, wash all of that clean, Lord. The Lord continues in Isaiah, "Put away your misdeeds from before my eyes. Cease doing evil. Learn to do good." As I've stepped out of that shower, Lord, I don't want to jump back into mud puddles and cover myself again with the dirt of the day. Help me just to remain in this goodness and teach me how to do good, to be more aware of those things that soil me, that dirty me, that make me feel covered over and separated from you, that make me feel more numb and hardened and crusted before you. Teach me to do good. Help me to cease doing evil, to avoid those places, those responses, maybe those people that are unnecessary for me to deal with, maybe those situations that I don't need to be in. Help me to cease doing evil and to learn to do good. Cover me with clean clothes that protect me, the clothes of your word, the clothes of your grace, the clothes of your love and forgiveness. Clothe me. The Lord continues, "Make justice your aim, redress the wronged, hear the orphan's plea, defend the widow." As you clean me, Lord, help me to be aware of those who have been dirtied by poverty, who have been dirtied by neglect and injustice, those who have been dirtied by the sins of others, even my own sins, those who have been neglected or rejected by me, those whom I hold in contempt in my heart, those I know personally or those I know through the media. Help me to be sensitive to their dirt and their feeling of separation, their distance and feeling of oppression. Help me to be more sensitive to them, Lord. And tell me, what can I do for them? How can I hear the orphan's plea? How can I defend the widow? Who is the orphan? Who is the widow in my life? Who is the one who needs my love and my mercy, my charity and my alms? Who is the one near me that I can reach out to? Who is the one that you want to reach out to through me? Help me to know them, to see them. Let me not be dirtied by indifference. Let my heart not be caked over with the dirt of neglect, self-absorption. Make me sensitive to those who are in need. "Come now, let us set things right," says the Lord. "Though your sins be like scarlet, they may become white as snow. Though they be crimson red, they may become white as wool." Lord, when I think of snow that has been discolored with dirt, with blood, and I think of how that color has seeped into that snow and discolored it, how could I possibly remove the color from the snow to make it white again? But that's what you do to my soul. You extract that color in a way that nothing on this earth ever could, that my efforts never could, that no one else ever could. You extract that from me. Let us look at those places that I feel are unforgivable in my life. Let us look at those places that I feel are absolutely distant from you, like a broken leg that healed badly and I've resolved only to limp for the rest of my life. I believe, Lord, that you can heal that. I believe, Lord, that you can cleanse and forgive those places in me that are so stained and tainted that I can't even imagine, I can't even remember what they looked like when they were white. Cleanse those places. Your power, your mercy can do that. I believe, Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they may become white as snow. Though they be crimson red, they may be white, become white as wool. I think of wool that has been dyed, stained, and that color is all through the wool. Who can separate the white wool from that stained color? You can do that, Lord. I've soaked it in so many material agents, in so many pop psychologies, in so many of my own efforts. Renew in me the certainty, Lord, that you can make it white again, that you want to and you will. Cleanse me to the depths so that there's no hint of that stain left in me. You can do that, Jesus. I open my soul to you, every corner of it. Even those places that I've been hiding from you and even hiding from myself, I open them to you now. Cleanse them deep within me, Lord. Let your grace flow deep within me. Cleanse me to the depths. Make me white as snow, white as wool. And let us conclude together. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And could you stand, and we'll pray together the intercessions for morning prayer. The response will be, Lord, help us with your grace. Let us always and everywhere give thanks to Christ our Savior and ask him with confidence, Lord, help us with your grace. May we keep our bodies pure as temples of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us with your grace. May we offer ourselves this morning to the service of others and do your will in all things throughout the day. Lord, help us with your grace. Teach us to seek the bread of everlasting life, the bread that is your gift. Lord, help us with your grace. May your mother, the refuge of sinners, pray for us and gain for us your loving forgiveness. Lord, help us with your grace. And let us join together in the prayer our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. O God, who grant us by glorious healing remedies while still on earth to be partakers of the things of heaven, guide us, we pray, through this present life and bring us to that light in which you dwell, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.